like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 20. 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never. Going hard as ever, the results match the effort.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Headed into the afternoon here, and welcome to the Shrimp Tank, brought to you right here on Atlanta Business Radio X in Sandy Springs. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who is the executive director and founder of now the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. And we'll get to Chris in just a minute. But on the Shrimp Tank every week, we bring you some of the brightest and best business owners across the state of Georgia, not just here in Atlanta, but in the entire state. These are people that know how to grow, run, and start businesses and have done it successfully. And this is where you, the new entrepreneur, can learn nuggets. You can learn wisdom on how to not make mistakes when you grow your business. We'll also bring in lots of kids from Kennesaw State and around the entire Atlanta area. They come in and they pitch their ideas on the tank. And we ultimately find out whether our business owners' ideas will swim or sink on the tank. We're going to have a great guest on today, John Barber, who we'll bring in just a minute. But Mr. Hanks, good morning to you, and always fun on a Thursday to be doing the Shrimp Tank with you.
Always fun, you know, and I'm excited. And this is actually getting me to feel a little bit more like myself, because actually I've been under the weather
a little bit.
But you know what? Can't stop the momentum. That will not stop it.
No, it's just like
it can't.
A cold is a poor excuse to miss work or anything like that.
Some describe entrepreneurship as the land of no excuses.
It really is. I mean, look, you could say if you're an entrepreneur and you miss a day of work, I mean, whatever, you're going to miss a day of revenue. So unless you have people there that can run the company, taking off time for a cold, I mean, that's child's play.
In my opinion. That cannot stop us.
Now, I know that we talked the last couple of episodes about Kennesaw State becoming the first university in the entire state of Georgia to have a degree in entrepreneurship. I understand that you had one of our colleagues in Lee Heisman to teach one of the classes this week. And I understand it went over resoundingly well.
Well, so far, early reports indicate that it went resoundingly well. I'm rushing out of the studio as soon as we're finished to do damage control at the university to find out for sure when I'm in the classroom with them, because I will be going to that same
class. Was
there
any truth that he pulled out like a boombox and played Tone Loc?
He did.
Was that what he
brought in a boombox and, from what I understand, actually went to the professors next to the classroom to make sure that the security would not be called, and then blasted the music and made them do a Soul Train line to earn their seats.
Now, I've got an important Lee Heisman dilemma that I need to share with you in just a minute. But I think part of what Lee told me, which is interesting, and I'm wondering how you teach this at Kennesaw State, is that you need it to be an entrepreneur. You're always in that state of discomfort. And I've noticed in the classes that you teach, and even when instructors come in, that you're always trying to make the kids feel uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
Why is that? Why is that so important in entrepreneurship to be uncomfortable?
Because success begins where your comfort zone ends. And if we constantly stay in our comfort zone, we're not stretching ourselves. We're not finding out what's possible, what we're capable of. So I'm consistently pushing people and what they're afraid of. I've had students who would, on some of their assignments, I'd find out that maybe they like just singing in the shower, but they're scared to death instead of singing it in front of people. So I make them sing in front of people. You know, we do things like
if they're late for class, you have to sing. If they're late for class,
do
you make them sing?
So not if they're late for class, but because they're probably working on their business.
Being late for class.
But the idea of just getting comfortable being uncomfortable and saying, look, it's okay to fail, because it's only through failing that we become stronger. And just creating an environment and a culture where we celebrate that as opposed to criticize that.
Well, you've got to be uncomfortable, because the first time you get a letter from the IRS, uncomfortable, and you will get one. The first time you get one from the Department of Labor, uncomfortable, and you will get one. The first time that you get a lawsuit, uncomfortable, you will get one. And when you have to fire somebody you really, really like, but you know that they're a sack of potatoes and you got to get rid of them.
You know, Ted, I got to jump in. I've been uncomfortable on all four of those for 30 plus years.
Well, we're going to bring in John Barber, because I want him to weigh in on this dilemma before we get to talk to John about his business. He's the CEO of Speed Pro Imaging. a wonderful place. If you're looking to get your car wrapped or you need signage on your building, or look, literally, I've learned now that John could even do bumper stickers. So there's all kinds of stuff, right, that his firm can do. But here's what the dilemma is this week. Now, I've got a good friend, Lee Heisman, and 99% of the time, I like Lee Heisman. And then it happened to me. The 1% happened to me. So here's the dilemma, because this is an interesting entrepreneurial dilemma. How do you handle this? And I think Lee Heisman's going to appreciate this. So we had to have a meeting with John Barber, who's with us today, and several other gentlemen at a coffee shop. And I was running late to the meeting, and Lee actually did a very kind thing. He said, I'm going to reserve your parking meter. I'm going to reserve your parking meter, and I'm going to pay for it. And I thought, that's wonderful. That's great. He actually had the spot all laid out where I was going to be. And he laid out the spot for me, and I parked, and we, you know, hurried off to the meeting, and we had a meeting for about an hour. Now I go back to my car and I go there on the windshield. And what do I see? I see the parking violation. Now this is a parking violation for $25 for parking meeting violation, which made me suspicious, Mr. Hanks, and thinking to myself, did Lee Heisman even put some coins in the meter at all? Did he put coins in the meter at all? Which I think he probably did. But seeing that he may not be good with math, he may have underestimated the amount of time that I was going to be at the parking meter, or how long I was going to be there at Avalon. So I've never had to pay an Avalon parking ticket. There's really nowhere to send this to.
There's nowhere to send it.
It basically says,
send it to Lee Heisman.
Actually, I think it looks like it's signed by Lee Heisman.
it was nothing official at all in here. So here's the dilemma in here. What happens as an owner if you have somebody that you do business with that you like and they make a mistake? Now, I'm not going to chastise Lee Heisman for $25. They said here, too, by the way, if you send a mom with kids that are over 40 to play in the yard out there, you don't have to pay anything. That's what it is. That's what's like at Avalon. It's basically mothers over 40 with their kids playing all day there. But what do you do? How do you address this with somebody?
Wow. What is, you know, this we could unpack several issues here. There's a social norm here. That, you know, what is the proper etiquette in this situation?
I don't know. I'm asking that. You know, this is what the Shrimp Tank is all about. You have these issues as entrepreneurs. Look, these are difficult ones, right? Because, John, you could do business with people. And how do you deal with it?
Ted, it could be a $25 ticket at Avalon, which, by the way, I think Lee Heisman, knowing him, would gladly pay you $50 at cocktails or a dinner some evening talking about all of our various businesses. But I do think it's a dilemma when it gets into the $1 million range. So the real question you have to ask is, who do you want to align with in business? Is it Lee Heisman or is it other people out there? We're going to bust on Lee a little bit. No, he's a great guy. Lovely. I've known him for a while. And I'm sure that he was playing a prank on you, Ted, to pay the $25.
Well, you know, we went through this prank. I want to talk to John about his business, but I'll tell you, we went through this prank a couple of years ago. Lee and I got invited to a birthday party. And basically, it was at Chops. And, you know, you think, oh, wow.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Look.
Absolutely.
Is my wife invited?
Wonderful.
Yes, this is great. So we go to Chops. And Lee and I don't know any better. And they're ordering oyster shrimp towers, shellfish towers. They're ordering bottles of champagne. We thought, this is like a wonderful birthday to be invited to. And then all of a sudden, about 2.5 hours into the meal, the check comes. And we all get a little bill slip with our check. And Lee and I each have a bill for $350 for dinner. And I thought, is this a joke? You invited me to your birthday party. Who invites you to a birthday party and makes you pay the bill? Well, apparently, we won't say how that happened, but it happened. It happened. We had to pay that. So the thing around this, I would tell most entrepreneurs, you have to address these things when they happen, you know, right? Even if, because it could be a joke and it could not. And this is only $25, but you're right, John. What happens when it's $25,000 and it becomes something, you know, more serious?
Well, here's the good news, Ted. From an entrepreneurial standpoint, as we start getting into that conversation, $25, it was a business meeting. Bottom line, it's a write-off.
I like that. So it only cost me $12.50.
It's a write-off. So at a 50% tax rate, it's $12.50.
Yeah. But it does show the point that, you know, so many times in business, something negative can happen, but it's not that. It's how we respond to what happens that makes all the difference. Like, I know a guy who owns a painting business that burnt down a customer's house and because of negligence, but turned that into referrals.
What?
Can you imagine how responsive would you have to be for the customer who you burnt the house down is referring you to all their friends? Like, oh, he's great. You got to hire him. Now, he burned down my house, but you got to hire him. Like, that just shows that, you know, like, there's always opportunity. Because
how did he burn down his house?
Storing paint on the side of the house and the way they covered it with drop cloths and that kind of thing. It's arguable, but that's part of it. It was arguable whether it was that cause or another cause, but he didn't fight the details. He said, look, let me put you up in a hotel. Let me take care of it. I'm horrified. And the way he dealt with the entire situation led to a positive outcome.
So, Chris, after the show, I just need one piece of data on that, the name of the printer. Did I say printer? That's my
business. Printer.
The the name of the painter. Quite frankly, I bring that up because those things happen all the time for all of us in business and entrepreneurs. And Chris is absolutely right. It's how you deal with that, how quickly you deal with it. And if you take the high road and the values to fix it right away, you can turn a bad situation into what I call a customer, a partner, and a friend for life.
Yeah, that's the difference too between getting a satisfied customer and turning it into a loyal customer. Because if I pay you for your product or service, I expect to get that product or service. And so I don't get credit for just serving you. Like if I put a dollar in the Coke machine and I get a Coke, I don't go, wow. You know, so when business owners brag about having satisfied customers, to me, that's like somebody bragging about, well, I feed my kids. Well, yeah, you're supposed to feed your kids.
That's right.
Right? You don't get credit for things you're supposed to do. But when we go above and beyond, we turn that negative situation into a positive and we go overboard, that can create satisfied customers and move them to loyal customers. And that's the source of your equity value.
Yeah, there's a core competency that, you know, there's a pay to play concept of you just have to do this to be in the business, no matter what industry, service, manufacturing, whatever. But it's the companies, the entrepreneurs that go above and beyond and differentiate themselves strategically versus their competition that, Chris, I really believe, really make the difference. And they're the ones that grow astronomically, regardless of the economic times.
Now, we're sitting here with John Barber, who's the owner of Speed Pro Imaging. You're on the Shrimp Tank right here, live from 11:30 to 12:30 right here at Atlanta Business Radio X in Sandy Springs. Sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks. I'm Ted Jenkin, your co-host. And John, I want to know, I know that you own a lot of businesses. We would not have time to get into all the businesses, but very curious just to start in here and like how you decided to engage in the signage business. Very competitive, fragmented industry. How did you decide to get started in this new venture?
Well, you know, great question, Ted, and I appreciate you having me on the Shrimp Tank today. You know, when I look at businesses to buy or invest in or to support or even a board to go on, I always look at, can I add value? And does my background or experience lend to growing that business? And so when I looked at Speed Pro as a company that I bought actually last year, in May of last year, and I just want to say we posted a record month
nice.
In August in the last 9 years of the company. So I'm coming off just a great financial month. But a lot of work went into that. And what I look at is I look at things like the market opportunity for growth. I look at the undervalued businesses that may be out there or a market that's undervalued, maybe one that has just gotten complacent and there's an opportunity to leverage new technology or just what Chris was talking about, great customer service above and beyond feeding your kids. That's expected. You got to go above and beyond in business every day. I love looking at competition to see if there's cracks in the marketplace. And quite frankly, why I love the wide format graphics business is what we do. We're in Phillips Arena, the World Congress Center, Georgia Dome. We do really big projects and vehicle wraps. The way we got in there was by over-servicing and creating a great relationship of responsiveness. You have to do quality. You have to have color match in our business. But to do big vehicle wraps for politicians who are actually running for president right now, and to do their signage, you have got to make it absolutely perfect and deliver and exceed expectation. So for me, this was an easy decision. The few things I just mentioned were my research. And then I took a look and said, I know a lot of people and a lot of my associates from over the years and other entrepreneurs and business owners. Everybody buys graphics. Everybody buys wide format. And so I looked at it as an opportunity where I could leverage my 30 plus years of experience and relationships to grow the business.
Because you're a serial entrepreneur, which I always had a concern about that name because that sounds kind of crazy. But as a serial entrepreneur,
we spell ours with a C, not an S.
Yeah, there you go.
Collector of LLCs. That's what we said.
Yes, we do.
But being a serial entrepreneur, what's the, like, if you had to identify one common underlying theme between all of your business ventures that a listener could benefit from, what would that be?
I think the one common theme is, as an entrepreneur, you've got to have passion for the business you're going to go into. I personally don't invest in or buy businesses purely financial reasons. I invest in them because I'm passionate about it. I'm excited about it. And at midnight when I'm, you know, reaching out to a customer and they're getting back to me, it's because I love what I do. And I would say for anybody listening out there, if you're young or if you're in the middle of your career or transitioning out of a corporate role looking to be an entrepreneur, I would really say you got to find something you love to do. Life is too short to be miserable, especially with the hours we put into business.
Well, it's interesting to hear you say that because I've known about some of the different business ventures that you've been in. And why would an entrepreneur out there, if they're starting a business, you can certainly start one from scratch and build your own name, or you can buy into a franchise. How does one make the decision at the fork in the road that it's better to go the franchise route than it might be to basically say, it's, you know, Jenkins Sporting Goods.
Yeah, and Ted has really teed me up for a great answer from me in terms of why SpeedPro versus other companies. I do have multiple companies, but SpeedPro is a choice because it's a franchise. And I actually had experience in the franchising world in previous corporate days. But for anybody out there looking at a business, you got to ask yourself deep down inside, open up that door with that key and say, am I really good enough to start a business purely from scratch? Or can I take an existing business that maybe is undervalued and really grow that and put the right culture in and leverage my experience, my background, or my relationships to grow this thing astronomically? You know, 3 to 5% growth rates for me a year, not sexy. That to me doesn't excite me. But I'm in a marketplace where there's a gazillion different companies that can provide what we do. So how do you differentiate yourself from those other companies? Franchising is an approach that allows a person either coming out of the corporate world or a person that's been dying to really be an entrepreneur. And I say that loosely, and I'm going to clarify that in a minute. It gives them an opportunity to really be in control of their own destiny. You're either going to fail or you're going to win based upon your own efforts, your own business acumen, and how hard you want to work. I say there's a little caveat there because a franchisee is not a pure serial entrepreneur. You're taking somebody else's business model that hopefully is proven. You're taking their operational process and you're taking their brand and then you're running with it. But you're paying a price for that to become a franchisee. Right. Pure entrepreneurialism, you know, look, I'm not good enough to start a tech company from scratch, but I'm good enough to hire some great people around me to take that concept and to grow that thing and go vertical. And the key to an entrepreneur is understanding you can't do everything yourself. At some point in the game, you've got to hire other people or bring people on board when you can afford to bring them on board to really leverage their core competencies and experience. And you either step out of the way, like, you know, look at what Gates did. He finally stepped out of the way, still very involved, but he hired other people to run that business when it got beyond his own potential. But as an entrepreneur, here's the reality, guys, everybody listening, you wear every hat. You're chief bottle washer, you are washing coffee cups, you're making deliveries, you're picking up raw materials, if that's the business you're in. When you start out, it is 24/7, every minute, every day.
So you stressed about getting the people around you. What's the key to hiring good people?
Well, in the old days, I used to say, throw a dart. No, just kidding. We had a saying, you know, I worked
sharp
for
one.
Well, a sharp one. I worked for Procter & Gamble and PepsiCo, Chris, for a number of years and really honed my business skills with two fabulous companies. But I was always dying to own my own businesses. And I got out early, very early compared to what my peers thought. The reality is you can't hire a warm body to fill an important job. You've got to make sure that you go through the right process. And look, the internet's awesome. You can go to Google and say, how do I hire the right person? Or you can go to peers of yours. And here's a statistic I remember from a few years back. About 4 to 5% of the executive level or mid-management jobs are recruiters in this country. And there's definitely a need for those individuals in those, you know, that industry. 5 to 6% maybe through a monster. The rest, about 90%, are all through referral. They're me knowing Ted Jenkins, me knowing Chris, me knowing Lee Heisman, and saying, I have a need. Here's what the spec looks like. Help me source somebody that you know. But I'll tell you, in the end, I've had to hire a lot of people. There's a lot of people that have fired themselves in my organizations, and you never bat 1,000 in this one.
We're going to take a break and hear from our commercial sponsors for just a minute. When we come back from the Shrimp Tank, we're going to get to our Hot or Not section with John Barber, who's the CEO of SpeedPro Imaging. We're going to find out whether it's hot or not to own a farm when we come back on the Shrimp Tank.
Does it seem like the more money you make, the more money seems to slip through your fingers? Why is that you make six figures, but seem to have six figures worth of bills? Now is the time to get a plan. Set up time today to start your 21-day budget cleanse. Go to OxygenFinancial.net to schedule a complimentary meeting now. That's OxygenFinancial.net to get started today. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Oxygen is not affiliated with Kestra.
Holy cow, am I thankful for shameless free plug commercials there. So you're hearing the Shrimp Tank right here during lunchtime. Thanks for joining us. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the Shore Center of Entrepreneurship. Chris has actually started to get a ton of press. He was on NPR. We just booked him for NBC here in Atlanta. And he's going to do a great show on that. He's going to be all over the place. And why is this? Well, I want you to think about this. not only the entrepreneurs, but parents alike that are listening to this. No matter what you see in this presidential election, you're going to hear all kinds of stuff over the next 60 days. Here are the facts. The facts still are that the jobs created in America are created on the backs of small business owners, created on the backs of entrepreneurs. And I'll predict to you, because you can see this happening, that there actually are jobs out there, just as a lot of kids don't want to do them. You know, a lot of people don't want to sit on a roof and bang in nails all day, but those jobs are there. That over time, not only will you see tracks in entrepreneurship in high school, I know Chris Hanks is going to make that happen not only at the college level, but in the high school level as well, but tracks for skilled laborers as well, people that may not go to college, but have jobs that are out there that are good, high-paying jobs. Where does it happen? On the backs of entrepreneurs, which is why we are trying to create more entrepreneurs here in the state of Georgia. It's why you get a degree from Kennesaw State, because you can be that future business owner that can be the next person to have a company with 100, 200, 1,000 employees or more. You know, one day there was no Coke and then there was Coke. One day there was no Home Depot. Now there's Home Depots everywhere. There will be more businesses like that, and it will be from kids that come out of Kennesaw State. We're sitting here with John Barber, who's the CEO of Speed Pro Imaging, getting to our hot or not section. Now, I just want to start off with the first hot or not, because you've owned so many businesses. Is it a good idea to hire family members in the business? Is that a hot or a not?
I would tell you no.
No dice. Leave the wife and the kids out of it.
I would leave the wife. Well, the wife might be good if you don't have her in the payroll. She's doing your accounting and she knows how to add. Just kidding. But no, seriously, I think there's so many qualified, good people out there. And one of my measures of success in a business is if I can grow that business to where I'm creating more jobs in any economy. That's a huge first top line measure of success for me and my businesses. If I look back and say, hey, I was up 55% last year in this business, like Speed Pro, for example, which we will be up about 48% year over year by the end of this year.
48%?
48%. And what you'd call it a mature business, but we're out there bringing in new customers and over-servicing them and meeting their expectation. But back to the question on people, I think there's so many good people out there. And again, one of my core measures of success, top three, Did I hire more people and did I grow the business, which ultimately has a ripple effect throughout the economy, which means I'm putting somebody else to work. Their family now has money. They're going to spend on goods and services. It's going to ripple all the way back to manufacturing, to distribution, all the way through to the grocery store.
Yeah, and you've got to keep business local. I don't know if Chris knows the stats, but I had heard at one time that the dollars that are spent on local businesses, around 70% of that money stays in the local economy. And if it's been on national business, only about 10% stays in the local economy. And I don't know if they're accurate, but I suspect that there is a wide gap in whether money leaves Atlanta or it doesn't based upon where it's spent. Yeah.
And one thing I always found interesting is like, so for every four jobs an entrepreneur creates, one other job is created, like the person who has to create a job for the subway across the street to serve those business owners, or the graphic artist that needs to be hired to service that business. So if you create four jobs, you're thinking about just the impact you have on your business. But think about the other jobs you are creating indirectly by growing your business.
Mm-hmm. And that's the ripple effect I'm talking about that Chris just highlighted more eloquently. You know, we as entrepreneurs create one, two, three more jobs. That money flows back into the economy mm-hmm. in one way or another, and we get people to work. I mean, I think that's, you know, you said it earlier, Ted, the backbone of business in this country is on entrepreneurs creating businesses, services, things that are valued by the consumer or a B2B business model. And that creates jobs, which then creates an incredible ripple effect in the economy.
All right. Hot or not, sharing your numbers with employees.
Is that a question for me, Chris? that's a great question.
This isn't the plead the fifth section.
I'll save my one plead the fifth on the shrimp tank for later. I believe that you need to have alignment and clarity around your mission, your vision, and also your results. And so I do believe that you need to share. You don't have to go down into line item detail.
Right.
But I think, and actually I'm dealing with that right now at Speed Pro. We came off a record month. Everybody's going to get bonus checks. If you're listening out there, team, you don't know how much yet, but next week we're going to have a great little session. We're going to share the results here today, and we are going to give bonus checks and share the wealth with the people on our team, because while I'm here in the shrimp take, they're back there in the studio taking care of customers, and I think that's really important.
Now, hot or not, should everyone get a farm? I know you have a farm. Is that a hot or not? Is it a good idea? I don't know what you do exactly at the farm, but I know. I want to know, is it a good idea to have one?
I could take that question and go down many, many different fields, woods, trails, ponds, et cetera. I'll try to answer that briefly, and I'm not a brief guy on the farm. I love my farm. It's a passion. Remember earlier in the show, I said, do things you love and that you're passionate about. I have a saying at my farm, you know, life is short, live hard. I mean, I just love it. I do have a farm. It's about 900 miles away from where I'm sitting right now. I manage it. I farm it. I do it all myself. But I do it not as much for me as I invite kids to come. I've got ponds. I've got, for those of you that aren't in the shooting sports, a lot of people are, and I've got a trap range for shotgun. I've got a pistol range, a rifle range, a bass pond, ATVs. And just this morning, I sent an email back to a young 12-year-old in Gwinnett County because I offered him a free trip to my farm to experience the outdoors in over Halloween weekend. So
it's got Red Hawk written all over it, huh?
You know, there's a lot of, you know, when you get to a point where you really truly can sit back and say, I'm really grateful. I'm not quitting. I can't quit. I love this. But you can share in the wealth with others. And in this case, I invite two or three young kids, 10 to 15 every year to my farm, all on me for a weekend. And they bring their dads, their granddads, and we have a lot of fun.
And how many people can stay out at the farm? How many people?
I can sleep 12 at the farm.
Nice.
During certain parts of the season, if I have a full house, I have a full cook.
Is it all farm to table too for food? Is
everything? Not quite. You know, there's a little bit of chain store, you know, 30 miles away that I have to supplement with. But no, I've got soybeans, corn, alfalfa, chicory. I've got a wildlife property that I've set up for quail now. So I've got quail on the property. They weren't there 20 years ago. And it's really a conservation effort that's been a lot of fun for me. But I want to answer a core question. Guys, I'm a capitalist and I'm an opportunist. The government pays me, and you might not like
this. They do to like plant flowers, don't they?
They pay me to not commercially farm parts of my farm. It's called the Conservation Reserve Program.
Yeah.
And I've taken that money and put it into really improving the property to where I've actually gotten some notice by the USDA director in Washington, D.C. for my efforts. It's been really wonderful.
This is a crazy thing our government does. I knew this. I had a guy up in Batavia, New York, who basically, he like plants flowers and the government pays him, you know.
You know, let me caveat that too. There's a reason for it. There's highly erodible land. It's called HEL land. And the land will erode if all you do is farm, farm, farm. And so this program put in 1986 by Ronald Reagan, we just celebrated the 30th year of CRP. It's called 30th CRP-ish. And I was up for actually an award, one of the 30 farmers in the country as a national award, which was pretty cool.
So you're an award-winning farmer?
No, I didn't get it, but I made it all the way to the desk of the USDA director. It really fits with my graphic business and my other companies. Now it's way out there in a tangent. But the reason for this program is because if you over-farm anything, if you take advantage of anything in business, if you take advantage of a customer over and over, eventually you're going to lose it. And it's the same thing with land. You have to rotate crops through the land. You have to protect the land so it's there 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now to continue to produce as our world population grows. And I'm doing my little part with my little farm project.
All right, we're going to take a quick break from our sponsors. I always wanted to know that. I never asked John personally, but I was glad to get it out in the air today. Now I know a lot more than I knew before. When we come back from our sponsors, we're going to go through our Plead the Fifth section. Mr. Hanks is going to kick it off. I know he has some good ones in there today, and we're going to find out just what John Barber, CEO of Speedpro Imaging, will answer right after we come back from our commercial sponsors.
In business, it's either time or money. How much money does your business lose if your network is down for a day? How much time do your employees waste trying to fix computer issues? At Savant, we have the experts that work on your network to simply make your company run more efficiently. Macs, PCs, mobile solutions, no problem. Savant's battery life never ends. Call 770-438-6240 now.
Hey, welcome back to the Shrimp Tank, coming to you live right here at Atlanta Business Radio X. Every Thursday from 11:30 to 12:30, you can always catch a replay of the entire broadcast today at shrimptankpodcast.com. You should hear these first two segments from John Barber. When you are an entrepreneur of multiple businesses, all that I felt has happened because I'm the same way. You just learn quicker. You take more body blows quicker. You learn faster, and then you stop making the same mistakes that you made before. Sometimes it actually can benefit you, I think, from owning multiple businesses at one time. You learn from other entrepreneurs. There are other legal nuances of being in a technology business versus a service business. And so you just learn a lot about running a business. I'm sitting here with my co-host, as I do every week, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. Kennesaw State is blowing up. I predicted this on this show and will continue to predict that within the next 5 years, Kennesaw State will come in as one of the top schools in the United States. When it comes to entrepreneurship and selling, it's leading the way right now. So your kids should really take a look at it at some point. There's amazing stuff that's going on there right now. And we get to our favorite section of the show right here on the Shrimp Tank. It's called our Plead the Fifth question, because what's knowing an entrepreneur if you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So we get to ask some of those questions. It may not be just about business, but a little bit more personal. And I'll let Mr. Hanks kick it off.
All right. What has been your most significant disappointment?
We learn a lot as entrepreneurs and just as people in terms of mistakes. Ted just mentioned it. I will tell you, having lost a major, major account opportunity because I didn't listen and I didn't probe deep enough. And I think we have to do some level of data analysis as entrepreneurs, both on ourselves, and we've got to be honest with ourselves. We don't have all the answers. And in this case, I lost a major, major account, a life-changing account, because I didn't pull in a couple of my key mentors. And that's my main message here, is that we're all going to have disappointments in life, in business, but you have to have mentors, associates, and others that as entrepreneurs, we don't have all the answers. You got to be willing to pull from those others that have maybe made the mistake, maybe been down the path before. And there's a saying, and it's not mine, I wish it were, but no one of us is as smart as all of us. So what I've learned, my biggest mistake personally, is that I thought I had all the answers early on. And boy, did I learn I did not. So for those of you listening out there, build a nice network of people that you really respect, that have good business experience or background or great ideas, and sit down with them as an informal board or a formal board. And work with them as you're, you know, going through your entrepreneurial life, because none of us have all the answers.
So here's a plea to the fifth. Do you always pull out the credit card when you go out for lunch? As a business owner, should you be the first one to pull out the credit card at lunch?
You know, I don't need a plea to the fifth on that. With five businesses, actually six, if I count another one, I have to figure out where to put it in my, you know, on my expenses. So I have no problem pulling the card out.
But some people don't. They're just cheap, right? They don't.
Well, here's the reality. It depends on who invited who to the lunch or the dinner. Okay, so if you go back to your birthday scenario, that was a cheap shot for you, Ted. Quite frankly, it chops. But you know, somebody invites you out, or they have
$350.
That was an expensive cheap shot. But you know, in business, if somebody invites you because you can provide value to them, they want to learn from you, they want to understand, they're asking you to take time out of your schedule to help them with their business, it's appropriate that whoever asks and invites pulls out the credit card first. You can fight over it after that later, whoever has the more successful business, but I think it's appropriate that the person asking is willing to, you know, spend the money and say, I respect your time because you're here to help me.
But what I found was people just assume because you own a business that it doesn't really cost you anything. So there's always an assumption that you're going to pay no matter what. Because it's not real money to you.
You just get to write it off.
It doesn't cost you anything.
Right. You know, at the end of the day, people get wealthy or businesses succeed because you are counting and watching your pennies. And I hate to say it that way. I don't care how successful your business is. If you're squandering money away, Chris, you're absolutely right. If you don't own a business, you assume that the guy owning the business is just loaded and can pick up
everything. Do you know what the stat is? Which this amazed me, but if you interview employees and say, how much of the revenue, what percentage of revenue do you think the owner is putting in their pocket? The answer you will get is 40%, right around 40%.
We wish we margined out at that level.
Isn't that amazing?
So, Chris,
so they just assume, they know that you got to pay bills and that kind of thing. So they say, probably about 40%. Sometimes you'll get as low as 30, you know, in the low 30s, but it tends to hover right around 40% is what your employees think that you are pocketing.
Chris, thank you for sharing that on the Shrimp Tank, because I'm going to want to talk to some of those folks about what businesses they are, and I might go buy one in that business for
now. Now, Chris, I had an ulterior motive when I asked that question to Barbara about the credit card, because I've been curious for some time in the academia world about if you have your own swipe card to take people out for lunch. Should they give you like a guest meal allowance on your own swipe card?
No.
You just have to pay when you take somebody out.
I just dole it out myself. Yep, that's on me.
Chris, next lunch is on me. I'll take it.
Next lunch? Okay, I'm going to order extra California rolls.
You got it.
Put some in my pocket for later. Okay, so what's been your, as your role as CEO, what's the most distasteful role?
Well, the toughest challenge is dealing with people. You know, when it comes down to if you have a good product, a good value, a good service, whatever vertical or industry you're in, it comes down to people. And if you have the right team members, asked earlier about, you know, hiring people, the toughest thing is to be honest and say, I either made a mistake on a hire, I rushed it, I wanted to fill the slot. But reality is, as a leader, you can't wait. I've learned over the years, once you know that you deep in your heart that it's not going to work, you got to move swift. Yeah. You got to move fast. Because if you don't, the other employees can see the challenges by keeping somebody on board that isn't pulling their weight.
Yeah, they say the most expensive time in an entrepreneur's life is the time between when they lose faith in someone and the time they do anything about it.
That's why I say move swift. Typically for me now, if I have an issue, the first thing I do is I go to the employee immediately. Within a week or 2 weeks, we've come to resolution. Typically, I've already started the search by that point.
Hot or not, marry an entrepreneur?
Plead the fifth.
Well, I like that. I got Barbara to plead the fifth.
I'm
going to
plead the fifth.
And by switching tactics.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to take my fifth card back and put it in my pocket. I think it depends a lot on if there's two entrepreneurs. You know, you're an entrepreneur and you're going to marry another entrepreneur.
Right.
That's not my scenario. I've been married 26 years to the same wonderful woman. Yep. She supports all of my crazy business ventures, my travels around the world, 36 countries I've been in. And the fact that she's behind the scenes really taking care of things and supporting the efforts for Barber Inc., the holding company of all of it, makes a difference. If I were married to an entrepreneur like me, oh my gosh, it'd be a train wreck. We'd never sleep. We'd be working all the time.
Well, for those folks that are listening to the Shrimp Tank today and listening to us live, well, we'll do the post-show wrap-up after this. You can always see a video, and you can see an entire replay of the broadcast on shrimptankpodcast.com. How can people listen to the broadcast get in touch with you if they want to wrap their car, their trucks, they've got a building, they need signage? How can somebody get in touch with you and do some business?
Hey, you know, I take one of those shameless plugs, but
I like it.
SpeedProAtlanta.com. You can reach out to me directly, John Barber. It's jbarber@speedpro.com. And we really appreciate being on the Shrimp Tank. And for those budding entrepreneurs out there, I'm just telling you, it's a lot of hard work, but boy, is it rewarding when you can manage your own schedule. You can work when you want to. And it's your choice to really take care of a customer or not. I love customers. I want customers and friends for life.
Well, thanks for coming on the program. Like I said, this is a great broadcast today. You got to check out the replay at shrimptankpodcast.com. Next week on the Shrimp Tank, did you ever wonder whether when hail hits lots of roofs in the neighborhood and people knock on your door and they want to fix it, is it a scam or is it real? We're going to have on Ryan Trebusch, who's the owner of Premier Roofing, an interesting business, and we're going to hear more about it next week right here on the Shrimp Tank.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.